everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Captain Horry alongside, as always, take it at three, hand it off to our buddy Phil Venati, his fine show behind the bench. We'll pick it up from there. Giants winning last night. Try to continue that trend as the D-backs and the Giants will again have a 6:45 with a 6:15 pre. Over on 790 tonight, you've got the start of the Cal League playoffs as the Grizzlies and the San Jose Giants do battle at Chuck Chancey. Tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of our great friend and terrific businessman in town, Ed Dunkel, and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Ed, tremendous benefactor at Fresno State, his alma mater. Tell you more about that a little bit later on. Jackson with me today, and I just talked to him off air a few minutes ago, and I mentioned to him that we could take about 5 hours and still not get through all the emails right now. You guys that have asked me, do I want to go back to 6 hours a day? No, I do not, but I appreciate the input. That was more work furlough. I told you guys this 30 years ago. I was given a choice. Either go on the air 6 hours a day or pick up cans by the side of the freeway. And I decided it was best to go on the air. It's my way of saying comments about the Giants and the 49ers. Phil is locked and loaded, ready to go. Again, 559-320-1430. Anything about the angst in regard to the 49ers, anything about the false hope of the Giants, and, of course, the very real possibility that Fresno State may win 10-plus games. All of that is right there for you at 3 o'clock. I will do the best I can to get through the emails at tdad1@att.net with Jackson in just a moment. But first, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. Buddies at KFC, we can't thank them enough. You're talking about an international, national, and, of course, local company. The local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kermit of KFC that have joined the Bulldog Bread Collective to be part of the solution at Fresno State. It's a feather in the cap of the university to have a great, great organization like this right there in lockstep with them. And right now, another terrific limited-time offer at KFC. They're bringing back the bold, craveable classics, in this case the hot and spicy wings and the potato wedges. This is just for a limited time. It's the ultimate fan favorite, makes all game days even better. And I'll tell you right now, if you have a chance to stop in and grab the wings and the wedges right now, please do so. And also, well, the rest of the competition is giving you smaller but more pricey stuff. KFC has the Kentucky Fried Chicken Sandwich that remains bigger and better than ever, and you can get that for just $3.99, again, for a limited time. So another great offer at KFC. We tell you all about their specials on Tuesday and Wednesday and all of that. This is something to pay attention to, as we told you from the very outset. Each and every time you have an opportunity to pick up lunch or dinner or anywhere in between. And again, if you stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. It's so important. Everything is revolving around NIL. And I will tell you that what Paul brought up yesterday, I had not considered at the moment. It certainly is something I'm going to ask Panish about. Brian will be back with us on Friday. He was in Scotland a couple of weeks ago when we talked to him, and it was actually in transit back home. Canoeing, I believe, was what was happening to get home. I told him he should fly, but he's a physical fitness buff, you know. But I will ask Brian about what Paul brought up, which is, since Brian has trumpeted, and justifiably so, his former Bosco Brave there, that would be Speedy Luke, what happens if Speedy Luke gets a big offer? Does Brian step up and write one of those monster Panish checks, the kind that enabled him to put that stadium in the ground for his alma mater, St. John Bosco? I'm going to ask Brian about that. If Speedy gets big offers, does Brian step in and say, you're not going anywhere, Speedy, you're staying here? I'm sure that'll put Brian on the spot, and I will enjoy very much doing that to him. Stay tuned for that on Friday. All right, the other reminders beyond our friends at KFC. Every day we bring you the weather, courtesy of our longtime sponsors and friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Been in NorCal in Central California since 1981. Terrific local people. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to do work, even during COVID. Really professional people. Terrific. If you have any need at all, they will be there for you in just a flash, and you'll see that truck pull up and solve whatever problem you might have. As far as the forecast goes, with the exception of the wildfires, and again, the Garnet Fire continues to rage, 55,000 acres burned now, about 16% containment. Down south around Coalinga, you have the Salt Fire, which is, I think, around 26,000 acres. It's 40% contained, but that's been declared an emergency area down there now. We know if you're up in the foothills, you have to be very, very careful. And while the winds are shifting and cooling off here, which helps us on the valley floor, it makes it more difficult in the foothill area. So it's a trade-off depending upon where you live. As far as the forecast itself, creature comfort-wise, can't ask for more than this time of year. 85 today, a low of 61. The breezes are up around 10 to 12 miles an hour. 83 tomorrow, another 83. And then we go 86, 89 on game day on Saturday, the 7 o'clock start against Southern. Can't ask for anything more than that either. 87 Sunday, 89 Monday. So a great seven-day forecast with the lows in the low to mid-60s. But again, be careful about the wildfires and the ever-shifting winds and what it does cause with those fires, and particularly as the haze and the smoke moves around. Anyway, thanks to the guys at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com is where you'll find them, and also you can grab them off on the web, beyondleesair.com, at their direct phone line. There's two now, the one for the business, which is 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, and then Lee's sponsors, the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring great friends like Jackson Moore up, and how Phil also brings callers from the general public, and that's 559-320-1430. So mark both of those numbers down. But thanks to everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to bring you the weather. And then finally, our longtime buddy Joe Cruz and his outstanding business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, been a friend and a sponsor for a good long while. He's celebrating his 25th anniversary of town. Another great benefactor for Fresno State. He has given to the university for over three decades. You'll find his business at 4529 North Marty Avenue, Suite 103 here in Fresno. You can give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go on the web at superiorpipeusa.com for more information, or Gabe, who works for Joe. And by the way, that's not the same Gabe, not Gabe Camarillo. Gabe Camarillo is at Channel 26 right now, our great friend. But Gabe Mullins is who works for Joe Cruz, also a terrific guy. And you can reach Gabe for more information at gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Anything you need in the way of pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, it's all there under one roof. And again, if you have an issue with a valve, I don't care if you're working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, around a boiler service, tanker delivery service, anybody from an industrial standpoint who relies upon a valve, if it starts to go down, your business can go down with it. One of the great aspects of Joe's business is not only the Superior components, but the family-friendly same-day service. You stop in, you tell Joe and Gabe what the problem is, they'll analyze it, and they'll get a solution for you very quickly. That way you stay up and running. At the same time, after you're done addressing that, if you have a few minutes, Joe will tell you what he does for Fresno State and what he'd like to see you do in the way of donation. The best way right now, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. Click on that, take you to different areas. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Myers Champion Circle, information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then finally, under ways to give, the individual sports club, so your money goes directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football. Jackson has been a guest speaker in front of the QBC gang, and a lot of great guests there as well. Jack Furtig with me every week, most of the time to talk basketball, not this week because the Giants have the time slot tomorrow. But Jack on the board of directors of the Time Out Club for men's basketball. They'd love to have more members there. And Jack has said, call him directly, 559-287-3305. That's his cell. or email him, FertigJack@AOL.com. There's also other links for sports like baseball, for instance, Dugout Club, and other men's and women's sports as well, under ways to give. And then finally, mentioned earlier, the very important Bulldog Bread Collective. That is what is right now so critically important in regard to the lifeblood of the academic and athletic standing at a university. And I'd like to think those are still going hand in hand. But we know this, the NIL monies, while they do help in a lot of ways to keep guys in school, it's also a double-edged sword. And if everybody else is continuing to feather the bed, you have to do so yourself. And once again, Marcus McMarion took over the collective from Chris. It stands alongside of what the university can give directly to athletes. It's very important. Any donation you might have, any sponsorship idea, Marcus wants to hear from you. BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Marcus will get back to you as soon as possible. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We appreciate one and all, and we do appreciate our de facto co-host, longtime friend, and the hardest working man in all of show business. It is Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm just doing spiffy, Jackson, as you know. As you talk to me, you say, you know, Tony, you sound spiffy. And I always appreciate that when you say that to me. I think that's what you're saying. You may be saying something else, and at my age, my hearing may be going, but I'll go with spiffy, close enough. There are so many different directions to go here, Jackson. I do want, in the way of housekeeping note, to clarify something from yesterday, because I had a couple emails about it. There were two issues late in the game. I'd said yesterday, before the Oregon State coaching staff goes ripping into its own team, which is what happened, and I realized the frustration, you need to make sure as a coaching staff you are at least close to free to blame. You're not going to be without blame. But, Jackson, there were two plays that I want to ask you about that were just befuddling to me in a game that was very uneven the entire way. I mentioned yesterday that must be something about the air in the Northwest, because the 49ers played in Seattle and they played about as strange a game as you could play. And just 24 hours earlier, the Bulldogs and the Beavers did the same thing in Corvallis. But you're late in a game that had gone back and forth, talking about Fresno State game. Oregon State takes that lead with just a minute plus to go, and you have got a one-point lead. So you certainly don't want to go for one, and with the way their kicking game had gone, they would have been better off kneeling on it maybe than trying to kick it, all right? But you want to get two to go up three. But the one thing you don't want to do, Jackson, is throw the thing to the middle of the field. If you are going to go for two and you have the lead, knowing if it goes the other direction, want to do the math with me? 2 points the other way, you could actually lose the game on your own conversion. And what happens? You have a pass right over the middle that easily could have been tipped and picked off, and it would have been 100 yards the other way. I don't know if that was a QB decision or a coaching decision, but I know this. If it was the coach, they have to tell the quarterback, roll out, take your RPO. If you don't have anybody there, try to run it in. If not, you have to throw it into the corners of the end zone. You cannot throw it over the middle. They got away with it. Then the second one was even more baffling to me, Jackson. Bulldogs come down and take the lead. Now you got 15 seconds to go. You've got a first down if you're Oregon State. You are not going to get four plays off, Jackson, in 15 seconds. So when you come up to the line of scrimmage, there's only one thing you can do after the first down with the clock stop to move the chains in the last couple of minutes, and that's spike the ball and regroup. And no, what does Oregon State do? They make the decision to try to pick up 3 or 4 yards like that was going to make a difference, okay, with their kicking game. And they throw an out pattern that turns into a touchdown the other way for the Bulldogs and essentially wrap up the game. Not that they had a great chance to get a field goal. But still, Jackson, where do you lay the blame for something like that? There is no reason to not spike that football. You are not saving enough time. You're not going to get off any more than three more plays, and 3 or 4 yards wasn't going to help you. You needed to get the ball 15, 20 yards down the field and then go up and spike it again. Were you as confused as I at having the Oregon State coaching staff then go off afterward? Were these QB decisions, in your opinion? I'm just wondering.
You know, I would say just from being there, after witnessing the 3 or 4 hours that led up to those moments, it wasn't as much of a surprise as singling them out. You look at that stadium, it's a beautiful venue. I mean, you got to give them a lot of credit for putting that all together. You look at their athletes, they look like a team that was in the Power Four not that long ago. The lines are big. The quarterback is huge. They're not exactly a Power Four team all the way around, but they've got a lot of remnants of that. And, you know, just across the board, impressive. And then at the same time, those same guys looked like they were kind of sleepwalking through the pregame. And you look in the stands, and it was probably about a little over half full. And
yeah,
the decision-making, all the false starts that were made, the head coach's comments at halftime, it was just like a team that had the full capability to beat Fresno State but just didn't have their heart in it, it felt like. And you add in the special team woes, and there was just so much that went wrong for Oregon State. It was really a comedy of errors. And so by the time they got to that last drive, I think they were pretty spent and pretty fed up with the way things had gone. I'm almost surprised they put together that go-ahead score there at the end that would have won them the game had Fresno State right. not went right back down the field and answered. So, you know, there was just they had, I would say, on average, the better athletes, but I think Fresno State was the better coach team. They were more prepared, and they made the critical plays in key situations, and that's what we talked about all offseason long. Now, you know, we didn't think Fresno State was going to win close games because opposing teams couldn't execute a long snap or made critical errors like the Beavers did. But we did expect Fresno State to have more of an edge, to be more prepared, to be built for games like this. And, you know, they ended up winning a game that you just felt like last year's team was in a lot of these same situations and just never seemed to get over the hump. So
yeah,
to do it early, to get this camaraderie in the locker room, I mean, just the atmosphere, the energy was such a 180 compared to all those heartbreaking losses last season. So a big deal for Fresno State across the board. And if the Beavers gave them an assist, then that's just a little bit of appreciation for the Bulldogs to be where they were at.
Well, you know, that's great analysis because it is one more time. And it's probably going to be all year long. It is a team that is going to play games, as we've talked, down to, as we mentioned, want to call it clutch time, crunch time, winning time, the last 5 minutes. And in this case, the last 5 minutes, got a big-time blitz called by your DC that worked out great. But still, with 2 minutes to go, you lose the lead, you get it back. We're going to see this all year long. And so it's going to come down to how well you execute vis-a-vis the other team. I will say this. If you're Oregon State, particularly a two-point conversion, if you had not told, you haven't told your QB, you cannot throw an out pattern, number one. You can't do that, which he did later, and that's what caused that. And you certainly cannot throw it over the middle. If they didn't tell him that, then that is dereliction of duty by the coaching staff, and they should own it. But you know what? They probably are not going to admit it, and that was a fascinating halftime discussion because, independent of the profanity, I'm not so sure who you're directing that at, because if you're directing at the preparation, you're directing at yourself because the coaches are all underneath you. So, you know, Bray has his own issues, and as Paul pointed out yesterday, and he's right, given Oregon State's schedule, they may be headed to 0-4. We'll see. Now, along those lines, we had talked after the Kansas game, and particularly the first half for Fresno State, against Georgia Southern, when the Bulldogs found a way to trail in a game that they had dominated, but they found a way to be behind on the scoreboard, they were staring the potential of 0-3 in the face if they let that Georgia Southern game get away. They finally got out of their own way, had a dominant second half. Bulldogs did not play great at Oregon State, but they played well enough to win, and that's all that counts. So you're 2-1, Jackson, and there's so many different ways to go here in regard to emails, but let's start with this basis. You're 2-1. Your quarterback has not played brilliantly, as so many emails are. Bulldogs are winning in spite of, not because of their quarterback. And then there are others saying, no, hang on, he's doing what he's supposed to do, that the job of the quarterback in this run-heavy Bulldog offense is not to lose the game. And even though his INTs have been ill-timed, they haven't yet lost him a game. So you have the one side of the ledger saying, no, never mind the Kansas game. They've won the other two games that they thought they had a great chance to win, and as long as they continue to win, he's the right guy. And then on the flip side, you have people saying, eventually, if you don't make a change here quick, it's going to catch up to you, and you are going to lose a critical game in conference. We talked about it yesterday. I know exactly what Matt Amps is doing. Everybody knows it. Matt is saying, as long as we win, we are staying the course. But, Jackson, I have the impression that we're not going to get the emphatic, this is our guy no matter what, which, as you know, we've heard in the past from coaches, both professionally and at the college level, that will tell you, this is our QB, barring injury, that's who we're staying with. I don't see this happening here. I think this is, as long as we win, it's EJ's job. But if we start to lose, right then you've got guys on the bench. Is that how you view it as well, or is he more entrenched with Warner than I think he is? And that's not a knock against Warner nor the decision-making. I'm just saying, I think it has to do with, that scoreboard has got to read more for Fresno State than the opposition. If it doesn't, I think change is very possible.
I think, at least through the three-game sample size so far, I do think Coach Entz and the staff are happier with E.J. Warner than maybe the general fan base is or thinks they might be. I also certainly agree with the stand that many fans have, is that this could catch up with them. You know, the writing is on the wall. It seems like that there could be a game where that performance could cost them. But the idea is for this quarterback and this offense to not lose games. And I think this program's also built for this team. At least that's the goal, is for necessarily not quarterbacks winning games either. They want to run the ball and play good defense. And they want to put themselves in a position where quarterback play doesn't really decide it either way. And you know, that's not a bad idea in a world where the prices for a quarterback that can win you games are probably out of Fresno State's reach right now, unless you strike gold or you get a big high school recruit to come in early. So I don't expect to see a change anytime soon. And I also believe that you look at the schedule coming up. I mean, it's hard to imagine the Bulldogs not winning this one against Southern. No offense to them. You know, they should be better than Hawaii. I'm a little worried about that matchup. I think it serves the Rainbow Warriors well relatively to the style of play for the two teams. But you get out of that game with the win, you come home and say you beat Nevada, who barely beat Sac State, maybe even on a short week at Colorado State against a Ram team that barely beat Northern Colorado. I mean, you could be looking at, what, 6-1, 5-1, maybe you drop one in there even. You're still looking at a pretty good record. I think the schedule sets up for success for them to work out the – I think the goal is to win and work out the kinks, but even if the kinks don't get worked out, it might kind of be beyond the point of return as far as making a change if you do have that many wins at that stage of the season. So I think, just kind of to summarize, staff's a lot happier with Warner than I think most people expect. They're very happy that he led that game-winning drive, and I think that does deserve some appreciation because – again, last year there was quite a few of those drives that ended in interceptions, and you know, Warner may not have all the same tools that Mikey Keene did, but he got the job done and led that drive in this time, and thankfully Dylan Lynch kicked that field goal and took advantage of it.
And that's a very fair view, and that's why if I were Matt Entz, I would be doing the same thing he's doing right now, Jackson, and that is he made a selection on the basis of what he saw with three guys that were essentially new to the program to him, and guys that, you know, I mean, he wasn't here with Mandel, and he came in, and you're bringing Warner in, though he knew what had happened with Warner at both Temple and Rice. And then you had Conklin, who we saw at Sac State but has not had an opportunity here yet. And if I'm Matt Entz, and I, myself and my coaching staff, felt going into the season that E.J. Warner gave him the best chance to win. As long as you're winning, you stay with it. That's all there is to it. And even if people say, you know, you're winning because your running game is carrying the day, I think if you're Matt Entsch, your fair argument is that is exactly how we designed this. And even though the stat sheet shows five INTs, none of those have cost you a game yet. The Kansas game, you were not close enough to point to just one thing. And the other thing, Jackson, is what you brought up. In fairness to EJ, you had a game that was very uneven on Saturday. There's no doubt about it. Whoever lost was going to be kicking themselves because of the missed opportunities. And when you have the lead get away, when it appeared you were very close to having it by the throat, that was reminiscent of last year, as you brought up. But you did have a quarterback who turned around the last 119 and brought you back down, and also a kicker that ended a year last year by missing a field goal at a critical time in a bowl game, who was able to put one through the uprights, and you end up winning. So I think right now it is a case of it ain't broke, don't break it, like Charles Oakley used to say. As long as you've got more than the other side, the old L. Davis, just win, baby, or, you know, the Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. As long as you're winning, even if it isn't blowing up the stat sheet, you're going to stay with it, and I'm fully in support of doing that. The question becomes, if you go to Hawaii and a game gets away, for instance, and you still don't have outstanding quarterback play, do you start to wonder? And I guess, Jackson, we will cross or fall off that bridge when we come to it. That's essentially what we're saying, right?
Yeah, you know, I think it would have to take something really egregious, and some people might say zero touchdowns and five picks is in that category, but I don't think
that's and that's the issue. That's the issue. But when you want to be fully in support of EJ, then the rejoinder is, and it was reflected in the emails, on both sides, hey, wait a minute here. Statistically, that's like a pitcher who's given up five homers and an ERA of 17, but every time he goes on the mound, the team scores enough to win, right? I mean, you start to wonder, right?
Yeah, I think for the most part, he is executing what the staff is looking for. I'm sure not all five of those interceptions are all on him. At least talking to Coach Davis last week, that was the sentiment about some of those first four
right. That
occurred. And I just think they're largely executing the offense the way they want to. And a lot of these picks, there's been some, quite a few of them have been downfield throws. You know, they haven't necessarily cost them field position, which is huge in this scheme. So I just don't think they see it as detrimental as it's been. And, you know, we'll see if there's a game where there's an interception or two and the Bulldogs lose by a score or two. There's certainly an opportunity for I told you so's if that happens. But I do think they're built to sustain that and again, win games in the trenches and find ways to win, even if they're in those spots.
Now, Thursday, we'll talk more about Southern and more about the game that was. But a couple of things I want to get into today before we run out of time again. And one of them I brought up, and that is, Speedy Luke now on the awards list for the Paul Hornung Award, and that's great. And Speedy was terrific, and Paul brought it up, Jackson, and I was kidding around about Panish, but, you know, he is one of Panish's guys from St. John Bosco. Are the Bulldogs, if this continues, are they going to be in that arms race at the end of the year to hold on to Luke, or is this something where you say, let's not talk about it right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality. I think at some point it's going to swing a little bit towards Donaldson's favor to where he's probably shouldering
right. More
of the statistics. So unless Luke just keeps playing like this, I mean, you don't want to necessarily take the ball out of his hands either. And you got to at least keep one of those two guys. It's just the reality of college football right now. You're probably going to have to pay up to keep one or both, and hopefully they can pull it off. But an outstanding start for Luke. You know, there's a lot of players on this roster. I mean, even some transfers from this offseason who had similar resumes, you know, former four-star type of guys, maybe didn't get a whole lot of opportunities at their past schools. And some of those guys really, really pan out, and some of those guys you don't see much of at all. And so you always wonder what they're going to look like in the first couple of games. And Luke is just exceeded even the expectations that his nicknames bring in. I'm really impressed by the way that he's been able to shed some tackles, and he's doing a lot of it himself. I don't mean that to take away from the O-line. It's just when they brought him in, I assumed they were going to find ways to get him the ball in space. Not really. They're just handing him the ball, and he's making it happen. So they haven't had to get creative in using him. He's just been solid by himself.
Well, I tell you what, he on field turf, you know, sprint turf, whatever you want to call it, speedy turf, okay, he will take your breath away. And if you are in the secondary in particular, you are holding your breath every time he's got to see him, because you know this, if he steps by you, you're going to be just staring at his number the rest of the time, because you're not going to catch him. I don't know there's anybody faster than he right now in college football. I mean, he is that quick with the football and that fast with straight line speed. And you're right, as long as Donaldson, who evidently is okay, as long as he stays healthy and the offensive line does not get dinged up more, you've got a great chance to showcase Luke and to scare the defense enough to open up other areas by his mere presence out there. So we'll see what happens. Now, a lot of the emails, Robert's email, JJ's email, all of them very well crafted, and I appreciate everybody, Dave. A lot of people asked about the defense because it's been lost a little bit in talking about the offensive issues of the team. But, Jackson, it was not a great defensive performance yards-wise. We've talked that they don't mind giving up everything between the 20s or 30s, depending upon when you wanted to find the compete zone. But they have been giving up a lot of yards right now. And our pal, the divine Mr. Price, had asked about this. He has been the friend. I mean, he is – that Phil, not our Phil, but that Phil is so old that he used to visit me in Coach's Corner at a restaurant that's no longer in business. That was the old tour we had. You open a restaurant – we'll close it. We were kind of like the mob, okay? We showed up, and within about 6 months, your restaurant was completely in the tank. But he had emailed in and asked about a comment that Cam had made over the air about the inability of Fresno State defensively to cover the wide receiver screen, which is somewhat amazing because the Bulldogs thrived on that wide receiver screen themselves for so many years. What about it, Jackson? Do you think the defense is playing well enough, and what about trying to handle those types of screens that were a problem for him on Saturday?
Yeah, that was one of the things, and all the excitement of the win, that still came out of Coach Ince's mouth, the way that they were getting the ball on those quick passes and using their third receiver, maybe that they didn't have circled as great as he was used going into this game. I know talking to some of the players, there's maybe not everyone was playing their assignment. You get into some of those screen passes, and if you've got one or two guys out of place, it's almost option territory where one bad assignment turns into a big game. So they're working on that quite a bit. I think just in general, again, Oregon State could be 0-5, potentially, looking at the teams that they play next. They got Texas Tech, Oregon, Houston. It could get ugly, but I think pound for pound, athletically and physically, I don't think Fresno State's going to see another team or two. There might be one or two teams left on the schedule that might be able to match what I think they saw from the Beavers in this one, and none that come close to Kansas. So I think you have to grade on a little bit of a scale in terms of going forward. I think a lot of the opponents remaining are going to be more manageable. The Bulldogs were missing Dejon Lafitte, which was a big deal on the interior D-line. I think that hurt the run defense quite a bit, missing him and being down a body when they were on the field for 86 snaps. So, definitely concerns from that game, but I'm not necessarily sure it's going to translate to most of the teams they play moving forward. And, you hope that's the case and that this team can stay healthy. There's about three or four guys banged up in the two deep right now, and none of them seem to be severe situations, but you can kind of see how things can wear and tear on this defense. If they lose a couple guys along the way, it might be tough to sustain some of the things that they're capable of.
By the way, Steve from Clovis was asking, given your new duties with the bosses at Paramount, if you're still going to be with me on the air and all of that. And Jackson, can you reassure them that you owe me money, so you have no choice? Can you go ahead and tell them? Jackson can tell you, Steve, I'm one guy you don't want to owe him money. It can get ugly, right, Jackson? So, if you want to be walking next week, Jackson, you're going to be on the air. You understand what I'm saying? Because you know this, you could be walking out your door and you look up and there are my associates, Guido and Vito, waiting for you, right? Jackson. Mr. Jackson, we understand. So you're still focusing on Fresno State, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And also, this should take away some of the time conflicts I've had. So hopefully I don't have to have you reschedule during fall camp or spring camp anymore. I'll be on the road a lot less. And we'll be adding Oregon football recruiting coverage to my list of assignments, but I'll be taking a lot off as well. I just won't be taking Fresno State off, so I won't be going anywhere in terms of the Bulldogs.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, and I was just kidding. I would never threaten you. No, that, although, you want to know one very interesting, somewhat alarming sidebar. The Bosa boys, Nick and Joey, right? Nick Bosa, of course, great player with the 49ers, saved the game. It wasn't Brock Purdy who saved the game. That throw in the end zone should have been picked off, and Seattle should have won. But the play late to save it when Darnold was about ready to tell the 49ers, thanks for showing me how to play quarterback a few years ago. There, Shanahan, I'm going to beat you. It was Bosa, of course, shoved the offensive lineman into Darnold and saved the game. But I don't know if you're aware of this, but the great-grandfather of the Bosas took over the Capone crime family back in the 60s. His name is Anthony Accardo. That was his great-grandfather. All right, so it's not me. But if the Bosas get upset at you, I would suggest, Jack, you run for the hills. Go hide at the top of a stadium like you were during the post games when you and I were doing those. When you were being chased by coyotes who actually had a tail. Those coyotes. All right, that's enough of that. Thanks for asking, Steve. And I'm glad that Jack will still be with me the entire time. TJ, by the way, our buddy from the Central Coast. I think, TJ, you back in town. You're the Central Coast. JJ, I know, is in the Central Coast, not back in town, though he is. If you have initials, TJ, JJ, it means you're going to go to the Central Coast and you're going to come back, right? One to the south, one to the north. But he was talking, TJ was, about Warner's game and the lack of arm strength. Are we back to that again? I mean, I don't want to be unfair to Mikey Keene, but Mikey Keene with a clean pocket was fine, but he was not a guy, as we talked, could roll out and did not have that cannon arm. What about Warner? Does Warner have a better arm than we think? He just hasn't been in good position, Jackson, or is it an issue in your opinion?
I mean, he's played in offenses where he's been asked to throw the ball quite a bit and throw it pretty far, and it wasn't necessarily alarming statistics or analysis. You've also got a guy that barely ran ever in his career and now has a 30-yard rushing touchdown and a 25-yard run over the last two games. So a lot of what we're seeing necessarily isn't what matched up with what he did in the past. And so I think there's still a bit to learn about him. He certainly seems capable of throwing the deep ball. I'll tell you, in the pregame before each game, you know, they do a lot of the same things that Fresno State's done in the past and pretty much every team does. But they wrap up with, like, a series of deep ball passes where it's almost 40, 50 yards, and that's usually on the money. So I would like to say he's got the ability. It's just when you do it so infrequently and maybe you get one shot, maybe you get a little nervous, maybe you don't put everything into it and it turns into an interception like the one that he did try to get to Josiah Freeman against Georgia Southern. I mean, that was a one-on-one ball that you hope a 6'3" receiver can go get, and it was just way too under. So there's a little bit of concern there. I will say the Bulldogs haven't completed the pass that's traveled more than 20 yards through the air all season long, which is alarming, right? Yet they're still 2-1 playing that style of football. So I think they can get it done maybe even without that element. I think the biggest concern is you do have quite a few receivers on this team that haven't seen many targets, and some guys that are deep ball threats that haven't gotten those opportunities. And you know, if you don't start trying to find ways to get them involved soon, you know, you just don't want them to get a little bit discouraged, I guess, by not getting the opportunities they came here for. But I think every other position unit on this team is pretty happy with the way things are going.
By the way, we'll get to more of your emails on Thursday with Jackson. And TJ is in town right now, though he did reference the Battle by the Bay. You know, we're very familiar with it. Monterey and Seaside High Schools, that's the Battle by the Bay. Okay, so he said he's seen better arms there. I thought he was going to give me that. I've seen better arms on Venus de Milo. Remember those jokes? I look, team is winning, Jackson. That's all that matters right now. But I will ask you in summation, seeing what you have seen now for 12 quarters, is this team ahead of schedule, behind, right where you figured them to be? Certainly the style of play is what we figured to see. But are you a guy who's saying it's just going to get better and this team is going to win 10 games? Or do you see looming dark clouds if they're not addressed proactively? And I guess that's going to be the question, right? It's fine, and I'm in support of it. Like I said, again, the proper phrase is no offense to Charles Oakley, who will come and beat you up. You know that, right? Ask James Dolan. He threw him out of Madison Square Garden. Now he has to hide from him all the time. But, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I can understand that attitude. Is that the proper attitude with Fresno State, or do you say there's more proactivity that has to take place here, that there are things that need to be changed now?
You know, they were way behind what I thought I was going to see from them at Kansas. They're way ahead of what I thought we'd see against Georgia Southern, and I probably thought I was going to see a little bit of a better performance against Oregon State, but they still found a way to win. So, and they're kind of somewhere in the middle right now. I think just looking at the schedule positively, I do think they're ahead of most of the teams that are on the schedule. I also think it's a style of play that you either got to really dominate in the trenches, or you could be in quite a few close games against teams that you might look like they're better than right now. And then probably Hawaii is one of those teams looming in the near future. But I do think, as well as mentioned, these next few games, I think give them a chance to get W's and kind of figure some of this stuff out. It gives them a little bit of leeway to make a mistake or two and not cost them potentially in some of these games against Southern and hopefully Nevada as well. So, you know, you hope by the time they get some of those tests, when that San Diego State-Boise State stretch in late October is looking like maybe a conference-defining stretch right there, and you hope right over the course of four games or so from now to then that they get some of that stuff worked out and those aren't as big of concerns. If they are concerns, you know, they can certainly cost the Bulldogs in a tight game, or, you know, if they're underdogs against the Boise State, it would probably prevent them from getting over the hump. But, you know, hopefully those concerns are eased in the next month or so.
Well, I'll tell you this, Steve Clovis half-kiddingly talked about he's well on his way to 6.5 over for wins, and I told him at the start of the year, I think that's the case. Jackson, I think they're going to go well over 7 wins. Do you believe this team can win 10 games in the regular season?
I think it's within the realm of possibility right now. There's certainly not a game on the schedule that they can't win. Even with the season opener that Boise State had right now, I think I need to see more from the Bulldogs in the next few weeks to feel a little bit better about that matchup.
Right.
But otherwise, I think they've got more. If you have the favorites and underdogs right now, the Bulldogs might be favored in 8 or 9 of the, or 7 or 8 of the remaining 9 games. So they're in really good position. It's just, you know, are they good enough to pull out some games where maybe they do have an extra turnover, or the game's closer than we thought? There's still going to be some of those games where they have to find more rabbits out of their hat like they did at Oregon State.
We'll see what happens, and the Bulldogs will, I think, as you mentioned, have a respite with Southern, and then it starts to get very interesting. But you got to show up Saturday and win, and I hope people show up as well. Dawn of the Veterans, 7 o'clock at the stadium. Jackson, let's go. On the board, what's going on right now specials-wise?
Yes, it's currently $1 for your first month to try it out, check things out, or you can join for the whole year, get 30% off the year. Two ways to lock in right now. I hope people take advantage.
Appreciate it. I'll talk to you on Thursday, my friend. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, DeFacto host Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Take a break, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. His great show coming up. Give him a call, 559-320-1430. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:52, about 2 or 3 minutes ago in the show. Hand it off to Phil. His great show behind the bench. Take you 6 o'clock tonight. I have the Giants on 1430, the Grizzlies on 790. Playoff time for the Grizzlies. We'll tell you about the schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Everything Ed does benefits the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State, a proud alum of that College of Engineering on campus. A lot of the folks that work there did go right through that process, and it's been one of the reasons they've been able to take athletics and academics and have them rise together, which has been a vision at the university for quite some time. And we thank Ed every day for his great sponsorship. He was on the flight to Corvallis. Paul was talking about that yesterday. As far as the lineup goes, again, Phil normally 3-6 Monday through Friday, sometimes moved around by play-by-play on Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our great friend Rod Evedikian. Best furniture on the planet. Terrific sales there all the time. Stop on in El Paso across from River Park. See the best furniture you can find anywhere. The great conversation of Phil shows some good eats as well. And again, the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430 to call Phil during his show. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. I'll get back to you as soon as I can on air. I can't do much off air, guys. I've got another procedure coming up at the end of this month, start of October. So hopefully that's going to help. We'll see about it. They're just going to take this lower back, and they're going to donate it to the Salvation Army. That's probably the best thing we should do with it these days. Also, Paul Meadows has two fine shows on Wednesday, 6 o'clock, on our sister station, The Deuce 790. He has got Sunbird Sports Report, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics, and then Saturday morning, the long-running show on 1430, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First String Sports. Friday night, lights. You might have heard the commercial if you're listening live. Phil, Paul, and Pat Hill. So it's a great combination, and I know Phil will tell you more about that. And again, remind you that the Grizzlies home tonight with this best 2-3, 6:50 on 790 tonight, and the fireworks, and a great weather night, so if you can go on out the stadium, they'll finish things up in San Jose one way or another in the best of three in this opener of the Cal League playoffs. And again, the Giants, 6:15 tonight. Everything went great for the Giants last night. Pretty amazing. They won, which means the D-backs lost, the Reds lost, the Cardinals lost, the Mets lost. They get more of that kind of help. Just maybe they can pull one out of their hat as they are. I cleaned that up just for you, Jorge, so you don't have to go back and edit. They are three back. We'll see what happens. They'll have an afternoon game tomorrow, the Giants will, that will take us off the air, but Phil will be coming on right after the game. The other reminder is everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Keep in mind we have a ton of pro football around the bend, the national games and all the 49er, Raider, and Ram games, and Major Wager Monday underway once again. Granite Park, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar in Dakota, Carter and the whole gang there at 5 o'clock. It's a doubleheader coming up, by the way, on Monday Night Football this coming Monday. We'll tell you more about that later in the week. So we've got everything you need locally, the high schools all the way through the academic year, everything from the NFL, everything from the NBA and Major League Baseball right through the championship rounds. And again, each and every day, we'll keep you updated the best we can. All right, the final reminders. Thanks to everybody at KFC in Fresno, in Clovis, in Kerman. Talk about them each and every day. They have the great special going on right now. The hot and spicy wings and potato wedges are back for a limited time. This is the ultimate fan favorite. And again, stop on in. This isn't going to last forever. But jump in, get the hot and spicy wings and potato wedges. Also, they have the terrific Kentucky Fried Chicken sandwich that remains bigger and better than ever where everybody else is downsizing. KFC is bringing you the big-time sandwich and a very low price of just $3.99, again, just for a limited time. And if you stop in the KFCs, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Very, very important. So, again, thanks to everybody at KFCs locally, Precision Civil Engineering, Ed Dunkel, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe, and Stainless Supply. These are guys locally who have stepped in to fill the void. And if we can get more like that, it's going to make it a lot better at Fresno State. You want more information, go to GoBulldogs.com. Final reminder for you guys, and that is around the bend when we get to the playoffs in baseball, there's a possibility that the Giants could actually get in and will alter our schedule. And if that's the case, we will maneuver around what I've already planned to do health-wise. Jorge, I tell you this because if the Giants get in, I may have to change what I need to do, which will make the doctors very, very pleased, as you might imagine. All right, we're done. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Jackson. Phil is coming up. We'll see you guys on Thursday. This is KFIG Fresno.